This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Chris, what were you showing us on the Zoom chat there, roaring with laughter? What were you showing us?
I was showing you a poll from Miami's Will Manso, Channel 10 down here in Miami. He put out a poll, Eastern Conference Finals Predictions Poll, getting a gauge of where everyone's at. Here's the options. Heat in 4, Heat in 5, Heat in 6, or Heat in 7. All right. Heat in 6 is winning so far.
Yeah, of course. 4%. Right, because fans want to say, you know what? I think we'll win the series, but I don't want to be scared by that Game 7. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take Heat in 6.
That Game 7 on a neutral court.
Yes. Yeah. But no, they don't want to worry that about that. My father always just predicts Heat sweeps, so he doesn't have to bother with any of it. That's all he says. Always Heat sweeps. Yes, Billy.
Ron, this is a really important thread we have going today. We'd like to know your prediction for the series because we're getting that all on the record. So, Ron, who's going to win the series and in how many games?
Heat in 7.
Yeah! Look, Ron's not scared of a Game 7. I'm sorry, Christine Lisi, we interrupted you.
And finally, gas is naturally odorless. The smell is added so people can tell if there's a leak. Speaking of malodorous gas.
Come on.
Let's hear it.
Speaking of malodorous gas, Dan, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Christine. If you want to talk to Ron McGill, 786-456-4837. Why doesn't Stugatz get to be malodorous gas? Roy,
she's taking her shots at me, man.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, I know that you work for the Miami-Dade Parks and Recreation Department, so that makes you technically a government employee. But what do you think about the county potentially building a theme park next door to Zoo Miami where there is a rare bat population there?
I am going to tell you what I have been told. I have been told I cannot make any comments on that and must refer all those questions to the Parks Department. You can take it. You can take it from there.
The rare no comment from Ron McGill because a topic is too difficult. We haven't dealt with that in how many years with the animal doctor?
No. Let me make this very clear. It's not difficult. If you want to call me on a personal phone and ask my personal opinion as Ron McGill's citizen, I will give it to you. But I cannot speak on behalf of the zoo.
What about Ron McGill as a personal citizen?
He can't do that.
You can't speak on the
phone. Did you not understand that? That'd be cheating. Yeah, Ron,
that was a good try, Ron.
Ron McGill straight from Zoo Miami and then say Ron McGill personal citizen. You can't do that.
Ron, ever since I was a little kid, this has long been rumored, a theme park at Zoo Miami. How many of these deals have been brought across your table and then quickly evaporated?
Now, that question I can answer. Tons of them. It started out with like 20th Century Fox wanted to build like another Disney World here. That soon went by the wayside. Then another big company took something over. That soon went by the wayside. It has now been shrunken down to something considerably smaller. But that's all I can say about it.
What about Ron McGill roller coaster enthusiast?
Ron McGill roller coaster enthusiast will go to Busch Gardens and
some place where there aren't rare bat populations. Greg Cody, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Hey, Ron, in New Mexico, birds, perhaps hundreds of thousands of birds, are mysteriously dropping dead. Can you shed any light on that?
Yeah, you know, nobody knows the exact cause of these things. This is not a first type of event. You can go on YouTube and Google, you know, birds dropping out of the sky. Nobody knows what it is. It could be something in the atmosphere. It could be the smoke from the fires drifting over. There's so many different things. Nobody knows exactly what it is. But like I will say, this is not a first-time occurrence. You will see photographs, literally thousands of birds falling dead out of the sky.
Were you not distracted, disoriented, and afraid for Greg Cody and the just sheer amount of disease in his voice?
He does sound pretty bad. Jeez.
Okay, you're very polite.
Thank you, Ron.
I read recently, and I think someone mentioned it on the show yesterday, a python that hadn't had contact with other pythons but had given birth without having contact with. Well, explain that to me, please.
Well, this is not terribly uncommon. There are a lot of reptiles that can actually change their sex from male to female without encountering the opposite sex. There are some reptiles that can store sperm for years. In other words, they'll breed 1 year, they'll store that sperm, they'll keep it alive for years. Years! Can you imagine if that happened to people? Oh my God, what a nightmare that would be. Because what happens is they don't come across a mate, and then all of a sudden they can have that sperm fertilize their eggs and lay the eggs from a breeding that they had years ago. How flippin' unbelievably fantastic is that, as long as you're not the dad that, you know, some lady's coming up to you like 5 years later saying, oh, by the way, remember that little thing we had 5 years ago? Here's your kid, just born yesterday.
Darth Ginger, you're on ESPN Radio with Ron McGill. Darth Ginger.
Hey, Dr. Ron, I want to know, what animal in captivity or in zoos is the most pickiest eater? I'm Darth Ginger, ESPN.
God, I love this show. You know, it depends. I can't say that it's going to be an individual animal. Now, there's some species that we have to come up with incredible formulas, something like, you know, the giant anteater. They have to come up with a certain kind of slop, a mix that is special for the animal that is really important. You know, it's quite a recipe that has to be made up. But generally speaking, you'll find it's more individual animals as opposed to a species. You know, like we have an otter here that only eats a certain kind of otter ball that's made like a cake. It's got to be baked in an oven. It's got to do all kinds of things into it to get them to eat this thing. I think in a lot of cases, the animals kind of train us. They say, well, I'm not going to eat it. And they'll think, oh, my God, we got to feed it. It's got to eat something so that we make what it likes. And it says, okay, now I'll eat. And I'll keep eating that stuff. And, you know, all of a sudden, we're giving it stuff that really you shouldn't be getting.
Daryl, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Daryl.
Hey, Ron, when birds fly north for the winter, how long does it take?
It depends where they're flying. I mean, there's some birds, you know, the Arctic tern, I think, flies like thousands and thousands of miles. It's really incredible. Some birds don't fly that far at all. Generally speaking, you know, birds can cover, you know, well over 100 miles a day in flight. So it all depends on the distance that they're flying. The migrations differ for different species.
The telephone number is 786-456-4837. Go ahead, Stugat.
Ron, who's the Nikola Jokic of the animal kingdom? Productive, but no one wants him at the party. No one really wants to be around him.
Oh, God, you make me think, Stugat. Productive and nobody wants him at the party.
Trent, you're on ESPN Radio with question. Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Trent.
Hey, Ron. I was out in my yard last night, saw a possum and a raccoon looking like they were giving each other the kind of the stink. Just curious, who would win in that fight?
You know, I think the raccoon would probably win because it's much faster, much more agile than the possum. Though the possum, of course, you've heard playing possum. Once he realized he was going to get the bejeebers beat out of him, just play possum and in the end win because he doesn't get really badly hurt and everybody walks away unscathed. But if you were going to go, you know, fight reflexes, teeth, power, quickness, I would go with the raccoon.
Is there an animal that playing possum doesn't work with, that playing dead is not going to work with? The possum's going to get consumed either way.
Yeah, a lot of animals. I mean, a lot of animals. If he's killing them for hunger and not killing them for territory, the sooner he plays dead, the better. The sooner he'll start eating them alive. But playing possum doesn't always work. There are other animals. There are snakes. The hognose snake, for instance, does the same thing. Gets freaked out. It rolls over on its belly. It opens its mouth and sticks its tongue out. It looks like it's dead. It's hilarious to look at it. But sometimes that doesn't work. You know, like a bird of prey, a snake eagle will come down and say, okay, play dead. I'm going to eat you anyway. So if they're eating... if they're fighting the animal to remove a threat, playing dead helps. If they're, you know, playing dead to avoid being eaten, well, that doesn't help it. It just expedites it.
Ron, is there an animal that kills for pleasure and hunts for sport?
Yeah, a lot of cats do that. A lot of cats do that. I mean, anybody who has a pet cat knows how many times a cat will catch something and drop it on your front porch dead after it stops playing around, which is why I tell people you shouldn't have your cats roaming free out in the street and out in the backyard, because cats kill a lot of animals that they don't eat.
Roy, close us out with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami, please.
Jumping back off of my original question, can you describe this rare bat a little bit more for us?
Yeah, the bonneted bat is the most endangered bat in the United States. It's the largest bat in Florida. It gets its name bonneted bat because it's got these huge ears that hang over its face that look like a bonnet. It wasn't believed to even exist down here in Miami. We found a tiny population of them here in the Rock Pineland around Zoo Miami, which is the most endangered habitat in all of Florida. And, you know, they play a major role, not only in controlling insects, but, you know, just keeping a balance in a very delicate ecosystem. So the bonnet bat's the largest of the bats. It's got the huge ears that look like bonnets on its head. I mean, people are going to look at it and say, well, that's not very attractive. But it plays a big major role in the environment.
Always illuminating, the animal doctor, Ron McGill. Thank you.
I'm not a doctor.
Thank you for being on with us, Ron. We appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Bye. See you, Doc.
Ponte los patines. Time for some ads.
Every executive who's tried to remove Ron McGill from this show thinks he's an animal doctor. That's why we do that. We are about 10 minutes away from giving you all your SUI winners from the last year. It was very successful last week. It was monster after monster in every category. The people have voted, and the winners will be announced about 10 minutes from now. But Greg Cody, forever the homer. Chris Cody, his son, is laughing at Will Manso of, you know, he is a Heat broadcaster, Channel 10 broadcaster, saying only offering the predictions of Heat in 4, Heat in 5, Heat in 6, or Heat in 7. Greg Cody is calling the Miami Heat America's team, even though no one outside of Miami is rooting for America's team. And he's calling the Marlins America's team as well, even though he already called the Heat America's team, and no one outside of Miami can name a couple of Marlins. Like, you just got no shot. So Greg Cody, go ahead and give us your homer analysis as the dinosaur columnist over four decades, whose voice sounds like all four of those decades have been soaked in whiskey and cigarettes. Give us your analysis as the Miami Heat homer. We finally have games that we care about. The pandemic, 2020, nothing stranger than the Marlins are playing in games this week that matter, and they're playing against the Red Sox, and the Red Sox do not care what happens in those games because the Red Sox are god-awful. Go ahead and make the argument. Miami is America's team in both baseball and basketball.
Yeah, the Marlins are Miami's cherished team. They're America's team because of the very anonymity you mentioned. Nobody expects anything of the Marlins. They're rebuilding. They're starting from the ground up. Nobody knows who they are. Mattingly's the manager of the year. They're the surprise in all of MLB. And so they're America's team. The Heat are America's team because they're the opposite of the Big Three era Heat, which was the perennial favorite, expected to win every game. This Heat team, a lot of people thought they were going to lose to Indiana, whom they swept. Then they beat the number one seed, Milwaukee. Now, ESPN's Basketball Power Index says the Celtics have a 69% chance to win, so the Heat are big underdogs yet again. And I think there's a real Cinderella quality to the Heat's playoff run right now. I think that makes them a fun team to watch, and I do think they're a likable team. I think when you've got somebody like Tyler Hero, 20 years old, on such a big stage, I think there's a lot to like about the Heat. And I know that's a parochial opinion, but I also think it's an accurate one.
Greg, I think you're right on the Marlins. With the Heat, though, here's the problem. The Heat are standing in the way of something the rest of the country wants to see. They want to see, you know, Lakers, Celtics, or maybe Clippers, Celtics, but certainly Lakers, Celtics.
Are you sure about this?
Like, I think the country would like to see Lakers, Celtics.
Are you doing 1980s? Like, is that what you're doing it based on?
I'm doing 2000s also with Kobe and Paul Pierce and Ron Artest.
You think that's more interesting than LeBron against
his former team? I think the Celtics and Lakers are always more interesting. I think for the rest of the country.
You can't really say the Celtics team is all that interesting. You could like it as a team. You could say that you would enjoy watching them. You could say that they're going to win the series, but I don't think people are looking at that team and saying, wow, that's an interesting Celtics team.
No, but it's more about the uniforms and the cities. It's Boston, it's LA, it's tradition. I think people would like to see Jason Tatum against LeBron James. I think they would certainly like to see that. The people who run this network would certainly like to see that more than the Heat versus either of those teams, because they know the ratings are going to be monstrous for those games.
It's because of the history and the laundry, but there's no actual history between this core Celtics team and that core Lakers team. There is actual history between LeBron and the Miami Heat, and I understand 80s and whatnot. I mean, the demo that you're going after remembers LeBron with the Heat more than they remember the classic battles of the Celtics and Lakers.
You think they remember that more than the Kobe Laker teams going against those Celtic teams with Paul Pierce?
Yeah, they remember remember that, but two entirely different teams. There's no anchor to that pass. There is an anchor and easy story to tell. This is the first time, if it happens, and that's a big if because LeBron's got to get through the Clippers or maybe the Nuggets, maybe the Nuggets, to the detriment of everybody. But, I mean, you have a brilliant story to tell that you've never been able to say that story. You've never been able to see that play out. You got close, but then Chris Bosh's blood clots ruined what would have been something that LeBron seemingly didn't want any part of. Now it's different, neutral court. It won't be as poisonous around him, but it's a cool story that we haven't seen for a player that's 35 years old. I mean, we're a long way in to start covering new ground with this guy.
We will give you all the Suey winners coming up next. My deepest apologies, Christine Lisi. We interrupted you.
And finally, getting married at age 25 or older significantly decreases the risk of divorce by over 60%. That seems like good news for Dan. Yet bad news for his wife.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Christy. Now it's getting aggressive. Time now to announce our Suey winners.
And now, the winners of the 2020 Suey Awards. Best back in my day. Sandwiches. The good old sandwich. It got away from us. It was simple once. Sandwich knew what it was. It was ham and cheese, peanut butter and jelly, grilled cheese, a burger. Simple, nothing fancy. Nowadays, we've tried to turn the sandwich into the work of culinary art it was never meant to be. We've draped a lunch pail man in an Armani suit. Plain bread was fine, but now it's a ciabatta roll or a brioche bun. Ketchup or mustard did the job, but now it's aioli sauce. Best Stugatz mispronunciation. Hermaphrodites.
Hermaphrodites.
Best laugh. Chris Cody with an odd laugh out of nowhere.
I'm the guy that was dunking, reverse dunking in Pahokee. I got this. And Jadeveon Clowney comes like, what was that?
Best story. Alejandro Narciso, Antonio Brown's videographer, tells us the truth about what went down between the Raiders and Antonio Brown.
Called the owner. It was a nice conversation. He said, look, man, like, I just don't think this is going to work out for either of us. I don't feel the love from you guys the way that you think you say you do. And I would appreciate it if you released me. And the owner was like, okay, you know, I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm sorry this didn't work out. And then at that point, AB was like, all right, it's go time. And I was like, damn. So he posted it, and the second he posted it, I'm getting hit up by Bleacher Report and all these people like, hey, can we post this vid? Can we post this vid? Oh, my God. Two-party consent. You're going to go to jail. And I freaked out. I was like, what did I just do? And I go in. Like, AB's fine. AB's like hanging out with his kids. You know, everything's good. But for me, this is all new to me. Like, I'm used to everyone just commenting fire emojis. And not like, you're a clown too, you're a moron. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like, I'm not. And then I sit down by the pool, and I was like, just contemplating everything. I was like, damn, I feel like Thanos right now. What just happened? And then it only got crazier from then, because then yesterday I land in Vegas because I had to go shoot something in Vegas. And I start getting hit up like, oh, apparently AV hired social media experts to smooth sail this release. I was like, social media experts? I'm literally like a 25-year-old nothing. It's like, he planned this whole thing. I was like, no, AV, like, post what he wants. I'm not his consultant, you know?
Worst mistake. Dan reads an inappropriate Twitter handle by mistake.
This is what's happened with Aaron Rodgers. The defense gave up 45 points. The defense gave up 44 points. The defense gave up 37 points. And the other three losses, he led a game-tying drive and never got the ball back. And this is from Barry McCoy. Never got the ball again.
No. that can't be his name. I dumped it.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you just fell for something.
Good call, Mike.
Ah!
The stats are right, though. The stats are right.
I can't trust anything.
Are you sure?
The stats are right, yes.
Name,
are they?
I trust Dan that the stats are right. That name is not real.
The stats are right. My bad. I didn't see it. My bad. Okay. I wanted to give credit to the... I wanted to give credit. That was an innocent mistake. I mean, you could be ashamed all you want. It was an innocent mistake.
Best dismissal. Michael Doliak dismisses coming back on our show tomorrow.
Oh, man, that was decent, but the two previous were by far the best.
Right. I mean, I think maybe leave it alone and don't go to Jerusalem.
All right, you're right. I'll leave it alone. Michael, thank you. We'll do it again with you tomorrow.
Yes.
To tomorrow?
Pay that man his money.
That is the most aggressively anyone has ever asked the question tomorrow. He is so done
and
with
that
us.
That ends the chapter. It's the best answer to that.
I've never heard tomorrow said that aggressively as a question.
It's a stutter of confusion.
Best Michael Doliak song. Listener Phil. My neck, my back.
My neck, my back. My Michael Doliak.
Best revelation. Alejandro Narciso, Antonio Brown's videographer, reveals how they got consent from John Gruden to use their phone conversation in Antonio's controversial video.
AB's marketing manager calls him and he says, hey, do you guys know that that's illegal to, you know, post that without him telling him first? And I was like, damn, he's right. So I was in the process of taking all the Gruden stuff out. And then I told AB, like, send the video to Gruden and then see what he thinks. Because, like, we can get consent that way. So my whole thing the entire time when we were waiting for Gruden's response was that Gruden's going to be like, listen, AB, I love you, man, but, you know, that's disrespectful. I can't be having you.
Gruden gave permission.
I can't be having you post, like, our own conversation. And then he responds, like, 15 minutes later, three texts. He goes, wow, I love it. Loved it. I love it. And I was like, what?
What?
And then we were like, all right, there's our consent.
Best limited fake. Mike Ryan, limited fake Pablo Torre officiating Dan's wedding.
Do you take Valerie to be your lovely wedded wife? Dan, do you? Here's the thing. I now pronounce you husband and wife. A letter from Paul to the Ephesians.
Most uncomfortable moment. Jason Leisure is unnecessarily mean to David Sampson.
Jason, with that being said, we bring you aboard live from Radio Row. Your thoughts on this segment so far?
It's incredibly boring. Is that going into the mic? Am I on the air now?
You're on the air, and David can hear that, and you guys can be at each other's throats.
Why are we doing this?
Well, I don't know who you are, Jason, but we're doing it because I was asked to call in at this time to talk about a movie review and then move into other subjects. But I don't drive this show. I drive nothing personal. This is being driven solely by Mike. So any level of boredom that you feel should be pointedly directed toward Mike, not me.
I mean, you had to have gotten bored during all that. Did you bore yourself during that?
I actually never bore myself. I do a lot of things with myself, but boring myself is not one of them.
My favorite part was when you bristled at people being in it just to make a profit. That bothers me too, David.
Is there anything wrong with just trying to make money?
Well, if it was boring, it's certainly not boring anymore.
I have a follow-up question for David.
No, Jason, I think we're good.
I just want to know if he has a job other than this.
No, he's got nothing personal.
He's nothing personal.
Yeah, Billy.
What is that?
Are you as uncomfortable as I am with this whole thing?
Things haven't gotten off to the best of start between Jason and David, I'd say.
I don't
even know who Jason is, though.
I know who you are, and I don't like you.
Oh, my God. Jason,
other than that, I think it's going great.
But, Jason, all I ask is at least meet me before you say that.
I just don't remember.
Well, that's totally unfair because it's my job. I've met a ton of people. and there's, it's impossible to remember everyone. So maybe I remember your face if it's noteworthy.
Best musical performance. Listener Andrew Streeter. Craig Cody, Kill the Radio Show.
But you is what the lyric was. Steve Levy was on the most recent Stupidity. They debuted last night. I'm sorry for the late game they got. Most of you probably went to sleep instead of watching 16-14 Titans over the Broncos. But Mike Ryan thought that ESPN put poor Steve Levy and the original broadcast team in a difficult spot last night. The team that was debuting Monday Night Football, the second game.
Yeah, obviously ESPN and Monday Night Football are trying to find signature voices. Since Mike Tirico left, it's been a bit of a revolving door. And last night, with the second part of the doubleheader, ESPN debuted its new number one team for Monday Night Football, Brian Griese, Louis Riddick, and Steve Levy. And you're familiar with the show business cliche. How am I supposed to follow that? I mean, very unfair. Everyone praising Fowler and Herbstreit for doing an NFL game. These guys have had chemistry built over two decades on television together. And you're throwing a team that's working together for the first time, trying to make a first impression. Everyone was still just glowing after hearing Herbie and Fowler. It was so unfair. I actually thought the guys did a good job with it as we start to get to getting used to these new voices. But that's impossible to follow that.
I love that you say that they did a good job as if you have a choice of saying anything other than that.
I don't have it. Even if they did a very bad job, I would tell you what a tremendous job they did.
Now, Levy and Griese had worked together before. They did college football together, and they had done the last 2 years, I believe, the 10 o'clock Monday Night Football game for ESPN. I think Steve Levy is excellent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Look,
but you wouldn't say if you didn't.
No, not at all. Never, never, never. We'll take one shot at ESPN. I recently purchased a 4K television, and this has opened up a new portal for me in terms of viewing experiences. This is incredible. And pretty soon they're going to debut 8K, but no one's even broadcasting in 4K. Now, all I want to do is watch things in 4K. There's like four sporting events a week that are in 4K. You could have nobody in the booth, but if you give me a 4K Monday Night Football game, I will watch that thing start to finish, please.
But here's the problem with technology in 4K. They're already making 8K, as you pointed out. So by the time you get the 4K TV into your house and you get settled in and you're used to it, there's something better already out on the market. That's why I just keep waiting till the final K.
It's exactly how you would do it if you were in charge of anything.
I really wonder what kind of TV Greg Cody has in his home, because I imagine there's an old school TV in there that's standard def that has
Zenith.
There's a Zenith and a Magnavox.
I'd love to say that I have a big 1960s console, but thanks to my wife, we actually do have a flat screen TV that I don't know if it's 4K or whatever. You know, you talk about Ks, and I think of the Greg Cody Show podcast because the Mount Gregmore name game had the Ks this past week.
For the love of God.
An immediate reminder.
For the love of God.
It was a natural transition.
All right.
Thank you.
First of all, Stugatz, I'm pretty mad at him because he said that he didn't do a Back in My Day today as punishment. For last week, he totally recycled the Back in My Day. He had done Cars before, and I don't understand why he was punishing us for him recycling something. Like, do you know how hard it is to challenge Stugatz for laziness around here? It's akin. You are accomplishing something, Cody, not unlike John Gruden this weekend. It's really hard in that front office to have the worst hair, but John Gruden managed to usurp the owner of the Raiders on terrible hair.
I mean, we're asking bare minimums here, Greg. Dan happens to be right. I am lazy, okay? But there has not been a single Monday I've walked in here without my weekend
observations. That's true. Do you know how embarrassing that is? You work once a week. Every week, Stugatz is outworking you, Cody.
Well, listen, apparently I committed a mortal felonious sin last week by daring.
Hope you enjoyed the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
World star!